Hello and welcome to still unnamed PC gaming
still?
Podcast.
Yeah,
I think we called the next one or the last one podcast X13D or something.
You forgot X-13. To apologize. That's my favorite part. When you're like, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm your host Ryan Scott, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So we still don't have a name. Mm-hmm. We're really close. Can we say what it is? Oh,
is this,
the Muckety Mucks haven't signed off on it yet, but we have a name in mind.
So, what are you, Teddy Roosevelt? The Muckety Mucks.
Maybe.
Then I officially designate this one X14.
Okay.
So
that was the name of a gang in my hometown. I just want that to be known.
A gang of fucking sci-fi nerds.
No, it's a gang.
We are X14. Give us all your magic points.
Oh, shit. So, good start.
Go around and introduce yourselves.
Who, me? Robert Ashley.
Matt Chandernay.
Anthony.
Tina. And I want to thank Genpei05 or... Davin Lowe for sending us snacks. Thank you very much.
Care of EGM Letters. I don't really know that that's for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why it said EGM. It said Intern Chris.
But it did say it to you, but it was still Care of EGM Letters.
It wasn't to me. It was to Intern Chris, and I locked that jerk in a closet and ate his food.
But what was the snack that was so great?
It was a bunch of Korean stuff.
Korea.
It was, he sent Korea.
There was like some banana-flavored Cheetos.
Yeah, didn't you like those?
They were all right.
Yeah.
They were better than they
sang. I'd kind of prefer people to send Cheetos next time.
You know what? Just skip the banana flavor.
If you think to yourself, this is exotic and tells this tale about my country, I don't want to hear it.
Are you serious?
Uh-oh. There were some chocolate things that were pretty good.
Yeah, you ate all of those, huh?
I ate like a bunch of them. So you're like the new Sean Elliott, the new snack queen.
Yeah, it's like so send your snacks to Chris Sanchez, intern Chris Sanchez, snacks from around the world, and she'll evaluate them,
and send me your cash.
Send cash, Robert Ashley.
Yes. I know if this show starts doing well, we're gonna have to pick up on the scheme we were talking about, making our own products.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Or we could just have Amazon wish lists where people could buy us things.
Terrible.
I like the way Robert thinks, though.
I saw like a 2020 once where 16-year-old girls were doing that and like posting pictures of themselves on the internet.
And were they getting
shit? To try to attract like, pedophiles to buy them. Yeah, apparently it's a really good way to get like an iPod or
That is ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah.
I need to find a picture of a cute underage girl and make an Amazon wish list, apparently.
Yeah, well, I'm not bailing you out.
I like how Robert says what we're all thinking but refuse to say.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Wait, what did I say? Oh.
The wish list.
That it's okay to be a pedophile. Or to bait them.
That's not true. You're out.
I think it's okay to bait them.
It's okay to bait
pedophiles.
Okay.
That's what TV tells me.
Ryan,
to catch a predator.
You got a piece of paper in front of you, like
you
got a schedule.
I don't have a schedule. I have a fun late breaking topic.
Yeah, what's that?
Just before we came down here, I saw a couple news stories about this World of Warcraft world event that's going on.
I got IMs on that from some of my buds.
And what is it?
Apparently, there is a zombie plague infecting the world.
Oh hell
and,
yeah!
And like, you can die and turn into a zombie. With a bunch of new awesome zombie skills and like kill other players.
Yeah, like you can like you have several skills that you can use, and my favorite one is that you can make yourself explode, and when you explode, like you create this radius of goo around you that infects everybody in the area and also slows them down.
Nice.
So that like if you're going in as a group of zombies and you designate a couple, you know, kamikazes, then like you can.
So does this mean like if I'm a zombie dwarf, I can attack other dwarfs?
Yes.
Yes, it makes everybody hostile to you that's not a zombie.
I don't understand, man. How can the regular players even have a chance, to be honest?
Zombie apocalypse.
Who fucking cares?
Sounds like if you're not level 70, you don't log in right now.
It sounds like you get on a bird mount and you tell it to fly you to Stormwind, and then you pull out your Ethernet cord. So you're just stuck in space.
Karen Chu from Legendary Thread, she emailed and was like, how do I get unzombified? Why would you why do you want that?
I can tell you there's an Argent Dawn person that spawns at the entrance to different, like there's one apparently that spawned at the, I haven't been in the game, so I haven't confirmed this, but there's apparently an Argent Dawn guy who spawns at the entrance to Stormwind if you're on the Alliance side.
I am like so baffled right now. I honestly can't believe what I'm hearing. Is this real?
It's fucking real, dude.
Jesus Christ.
Well, they did a plague thing in WoW. Like, when did they do that? It was like a year or two ago. Wasn't
I think
it?
That was not.
It was an accident.
On purpose, yeah.
Right, but I mean, like, the interesting thing about that, though, is when it spawned, like, studies into the progression of real-world plagues from, you know, like, patient zero type of stuff.
Yeah, like, and pandemic researchers.
And yeah. And I'm wondering, like, you know, if this is somebody at Blizzard was like, hey, let's do it, but do it, you know. For reals.
I want them to, like, have, like, I can log into WoW right now and buy a dog pet that, like, tells me when someone's infected but not a zombie yet. I'm just like, no, you can't join my group.
So, Ryan, what do you think about all this? Are you going to play anytime soon?
Yeah. As in tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
His girlfriend's going to heat up the SpaghettiOs for him. He's just going to go to town eating them.
Maybe. Sounds good.
I'm totally taking my bag of Korean snacks, and I'm going to go in and be a fucking zombie and cause as much chaos as I can.
Wait, yeah. When you explode, does that mean you're done for, or you just
probably respawn?
I don't know, because I haven't done it yet, but I'm sure you just respawn, yeah.
Yeah?
I'm sure you could come back to life and get infected again.
You respawn as a werewolf. Basically, you just cycle through all of the horror tropes. Every time you die, you become something else.
And like the ultimate prestige class is if you're like a vampire zombie wolf.
Wow. That would be pretty cool.
It would. Nice.
So is that... That was
late breaking news.
I mean, by the time people hear this, they're going to be like, old.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well,
I'm excited. Fair. It's new to us right now at 4:55 p.m. on Wednesday the 22nd.
Yep. So what games do we have to talk about? I knew we had some, and I thought you were keeping track of that.
Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 Dead, Star Wars,
hey,
The Old Republic.
Hey, there's a segue. That was easy, wasn't it?
Oh, my God.
Speaking of zombies,
Tina and I
played some Left 4 Dead last weekend.
Like, nice.
Not weekend, it was in fact the week.
But every day's the weekend when you're on a Thursday?
It was on a Wednesday. It was on a Brodeo day.
Oh, yeah.
And we had quite a bit of fun. We played the Infected versus Survivors game.
Did you get much chance to be infected?
Yeah.
We did.
It switched off.
It was like two teams, and you know, it's not completely asymmetrical because each team like switches turns being the survivors and being the infected.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
It was really interesting. I think, though, this is the first time I ever really got to play Left 4 Dead, and I've been following it really closely because I've got a massive game boner for it.
Yeah.
And, I can tell.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I've been following everything, and at the time when they released the new character designs during E3, I was really kind of disappointed in the changes. They seemed a lot sort of more generic and just not as much interest there for me. But when I played the game, I was surprised by how charismatic the characters in the game are. Like, they really come off like Team Fortress, you know, charm, offensive. And it's mostly the facial expressions. Like, it's kind of amazing. Valve has always been great at that. But man, when you die as in the game, or like as an infected on the other team, even, you know, you can click around and see what everyone else is doing. And every time I would just click to one of the survivor characters and swing around in front of them and watch them like blowing zombies' heads off and watch their faces like cringe and they get really freaked out, you know, when they're attacked. They're like, oh shit! They get these really, you know, awesome facial expressions, and you just end up loving like all the human characters.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
The blood splattering everywhere is nice too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The blood splatter's pretty killer. Yeah. Yeah, but as far as the infected thing goes, it was really interesting. I mean, it's definitely an entirely different game on the other side. Yeah. I mean,
so I was going to ask, do you get to play any of the normal zombies, or do you only play the super?
You get to play as
the boomer,
who's the big throw up fatty zombie,
and the tank is the big dude.
Yeah, although he only pops up like once a game or something, because that's like a big to do. Then there's a hunter who's like pounces on people, and the smoker with the crazy long tongue.
Right,
and it's sort of like the opposite of the survivors in that. When you're playing as survivors, you're trying to stick as hard as you can to just stick in the same area together to help each other out. But when you're playing as the infected, you kind of spread out and you try to separate the one survivor out. Like that's the only chance you can really get to kill somebody is if you can get like one of the liquors to pull somebody out of the crowd and then you can pounce on them. I mean the strategies are totally different and totally interesting.
Well, wasn't it really frustrating at first too to be the infected because you died so fast and you weren't expecting that at all? Because playing as the survivors, you have a longer lifespan.
Yeah.
So that was hard to get used to.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you just run in there and you think, I'm a zombie, and you run, you run into the room where there's all four of those guys, and you just get your head blown off instantly.
Yeah, you're like, damn it.
I did that about, 15 times before I started figuring out that you just can't do that at all. Even like when we were playing some people.
Role-playing doesn't work.
Yeah, not at all. You gotta be clever, and you gotta kind of use the waves of AI zombies basically you wait until they get totally bum rushed and jump in there and try to peel somebody off.
And then the respawn was pretty long too, right? Seconds or something.
It's kind of brutal, but it's fun. It's a fun game to watch, and there were moments where playing as the infected were really cool.
They were funny.
At one point Tina had gotten the tank. And we were up on top of this building on the rooftops. And it was a pretty badass moment. Like, it was one of those things where we were at this event and, we're like 12 people around a table or 10 people around a table.
Everyone's watching you play.
Yeah, and Tina's going up on top of this big rooftop building and fighting someone up there. And she swings her fist and knocks the guy off the roof entirely. Nice. Like, and the whole room is like, whoa! it was pretty incredible. But yeah, I mean, I can't wait to spend some real time with it. But
so it sounds like the tactics things that they like the different sides that they were going for actually pulled off. Because I was afraid that it would just like all of their talk would just lead into zombies and humans rushing into the same room together and fighting it head on.
No
but
way.
It sounds like they're really vastly different,
and
just like they promised.
As the infected, you get to pick where you spawn to, so it makes it more strategic.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, you start every spawn in the room with the survivors, and you're invisible, and you basically walk around to find some specific place that there's a rule you can't spawn too close, but you walk around trying to find some hiding spot just in front of them where you think you might have an advantage. And it's kind of nice. You get to play when you're a kid getting in the broom closet and waiting for your mom to walk by so you can jump out and be like, whoa, and they have a heart attack. It's basically like the game version of that. And we were playing at some point against some people who I think were testers or either that or on the team.
They were so good.
They were like really organized at the infected, and it was kind of mind-boggling. I mean, they destroyed us in minutes. I mean, they had all kinds of crazy. We were all just hanging from the rooftops with like liquor
running
tugs
in circles,
around our necks and stuff. It's insane.
Are the normal, like the non-infected, are there different classes or
the survivors?
Yeah.
They're not
classes. I mean, they're different characters, but you don't pick them even. They all play exactly the same, and you make your sort of decision about what class you are basically by what weapon
you choose.
Because at the beginning, you can either pick up like
a shotgun
or like a
dual-wield pistols.
Yeah, Uzi or assault weapon, and then everyone has a pistol. Which you can use like when you're down. I think one of my favorite moments as a survivor is when you get to a point where you've been attacked so much that you can't get up anymore and you're waiting for someone to come and help you up.
It's just like the last stand perking culture.
Yeah. And you're like on the ground with your pistol pointing up and you're popping like zombies coming after you left and right. And you're like, come get me, help me.
Well, then like your teammate can drag you, right?
I don't know. Maybe.
I
didn't see that.
Can they?
That could be a thing if they want to drag you away. It might be possible, but I didn't see it happen in the game. Uh-huh. It's mainly, you're waiting for someone to come around and revive you. And that's a really like satisfying teamwork thing in the game is, when you get to save someone, like, blow the zombie's head off who's, perched over your teammate, like, eating their guts. It's pretty cool. I enjoyed that aspect of it.
I only got a chance to play the 360 version when we went up to PAX because, they're right there in Bellevue.
Yeah.
And we took a little bit of footage of it. And that's the only time I've ever played the game. They didn't let us play the infected yet, so I'm...
Yeah.
But I had so much fucking fun with just the survivor class.
Yeah.
Or survivors, I mean.
I think that a lot of people are going to be playing the straight, teammate game. Because for one thing, when you're playing it on opposite sides, I feel like it takes away some of the horror aspect. I mean, you're no longer in this like game where it's all about getting to the end and surviving. I mean, you are technically.
No, I don't know about you, but I was really scared when you felt you saw the thing vibrating. You're like, oh my god, a tank's right in front of me.
It's true. You can definitely find yourself in like a really fucked up situation
in a corner. Yeah, with all of them after. Oh,
and goodness. That's scary. But I don't know. I think it'll be a great game to return to. But I think at first I'm going to be playing a lot of just playing through the levels with friends. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we played the PC version though, and it's looking like really fantastic. I mean, I just bought like a new processor for my computer because I'm like, I want to be prepared.
Nice.
But it looks really great. The lighting is amazing. It's always amazing to me what Valve does with that engine. They just keep on making it, updating it for today, and it just doesn't look dated at all.
Yeah, and it's like I was thinking about that. Like Ryan and I were talking about this a couple of days ago about how the Source Engine. You think about how long ago Half-Life 2 came out.
Yeah,
and then like I already think of that as an old game.
Yeah.
But because of the updates that have happened to that engine, you know, like Episode 3 feels like fully this gen.
Yeah, Episode 2, unless you have some.
That's what I meant.
Amazing. Yeah, unless you got to see some cool ass shit.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you that Gabe Newell and I are like roommates.
Yeah, he's been sending you JPEGs.
Yeah.
Check it. Yo, check it. Don't show your friends.
Yeah. He was the one that told me about your massive gamer boner.
I've got a serious issue with that. But
Left 4 Dead's really good, though.
Yeah.
So much fun. I like playing as the boomer, the fat dude, just vomiting on people. That's so neat.
It's pretty, the characters on the other side are pretty fucking disgusting.
They are so
when you close up on them, it's pretty gnarly. The boomer is definitely
don't you love that?
A bulimic like a fat guy.
And then like if you get close to, you know, the survivors and they blow you up like right when you're next to them, then your body explodes and then like your fluids get on them and that damages them too.
Yeah,
do the fluids do the same thing which your vomit does, is like make all the zombies attracted to them?
I think they do.
I think so.
Yeah. I think it's the same stuff. Mm. And it totally covers your screen, which is sort of frustrating.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. But at the same time it limits your distance of view, so you can see everything within about a foot and a half, so you're just zooming around with your gun, like, where's it at? I'm gonna kill it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shooting at anything that's in front of you because you can't really tell.
Right, of course.
I think, oh God, Ryan, I you'd like it.
Yeah?
You'd probably be the hunter, the little dude that pounces on people.
Are there things like the medic or engineer that make it so I don't have to aim?
I would say that the survivors, it's not the most like aim intensive game. I mean, you're shooting at like, you know, packs of zombies, and especially if you pick up like a shotgun, it's not like Counter-Strike or something. It's very accessible. I wouldn't say it's accessible as like the medic.
So
but I think you could get by.
So tell me if you noticed this, because this was definitely a thing in the 360 version, was that if you're on the survivor side and you had a teammate that was completely surrounded by a pack of zombies, and I fired my shotgun at him, like the shotgun would automatically hit all the zombies and not hit my teammate.
Friendly fire is definitely
friendly fire was on, but it was like it looked like it was tuned. So that you could save people.
Hmm. It might be something with like the slight auto aim in the Xbox version. I didn't notice anything like that with what we were playing. What are you playing with your goddamn iPhone, Anthony?
I was making sure it was off.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And he's like, I gotta look up some internet.
I was making sure it was off.
No, I fully heard the...
Sorry about that.
I'm just playing with you, dude.
All your fault.
Let me turn my...
That's not all mean. I'm like, goddamn you kids and your iPhones.
I'm glad that there's friendly fire, though, because in a game like that, I feel like it needs it.
Oh,
yeah. Well, it makes it a little more artful when you save someone, because you have to take the time to really...
Zombies are getting too close, you hesitate to shoot.
Yeah. You gotta
make a
little...
Maybe that was just an Xbox thing. Like, maybe it was tuned a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, usually, I think there's going to be some sort of slight auto aim with that.
But yeah, I mean, I'm sure on the Xbox One, I mean, they have to make it a little bit more generous because you can't be quite as precise.
Yeah, but I'm sure that I think that it'll probably work really well in the Xbox version in a way that like Team Fortress doesn't. Because like I said, I just don't think it requires the serious aiming that a lot of
the Xbox version will have dedicated servers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Run by EA.
Yeah, and I've been seeing ads for that game everywhere in San Francisco. Have you noticed?
Yeah,
it's kind of amazing.
Awesome.
I'm like,
stuff,
yeah.
Like this giant hand without a thumb. It's like, oh,
I wasn't expecting
family
that from
friendly.
This game, but
no, me either. Yeah.
You got something to say, Ryan? I saw you making that face.
You got the... something to say?
Yeah, you're looking at me.
You
with
say
stress.
It.
You're like, Tina, what the hell?
What was up?
I'm just watching Tina
eat Cheez-Its live on air.
The way I do that when I'm when I don't want that to happen, the way I do it is I just...
You let it melt?
I put it in my mouth and just let it sit there.
That's gross. Wow.
You absorb the calories from the Cheez-It. It just becomes this, like, gnarly milkshake in your mouth.
Gross.
You are, like, super into the actual flavor then. You're just going to let it sit there and melt.
Mm-hmm. Those Cheez-Its suck. I'm sorry. I think they cut back on the fake stuff. Like,
contains 100% real cheese. That's where they got
it contains 100% real cheese. Dude. And 50% less cheese flavor.
The economy's in a recession now.
I guess.
You need to grow your own victory cheese garden.
I was gonna make some mozzarella this weekend, actually. I'm into cheese making.
How do you make mozzarella?
Yeah, you can make mozzarella.
Where did you find the buffalo milk?
You don't need... That's for buffalo mozzarella. And you know buffalo milk isn't like really buffalo's. It's like a special kind of cow. It's a special kind of Italian cow.
Yeah.
With delicious milk.
Italian.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But you can make it with straight up cow milk, and you know, if you get like raw milk. Anyway, we don't want to get into cheese making. I enjoy making cheese though. Yeah.
Nice.
We'll discuss living without electricity.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I'm headed toward
Amish,
like,
living.
Amish living with Bobito.
That's going to be Photoshop.
That's the new name of the PC podcast.
So I guess the other game that we were supposed to talk about was the one that only I saw.
What was that?
Called The Old Republic. Star Wars The Old Republic.
I heard
it's
that
not
was
Knights of the Old Republic. It's just
I heard
the Old
I heard
Republic.
That was a massive multiplayer RPG.
That is what it's supposed to be. They showed us like a trailer, if you want to call it that, but which is more like a camera going over like two landscapes they've kind of done at this point.
Why do you sound upset?
Oh, because the trailer wasn't that good.
Sorry.
And I wanted to see a better trailer for going all the way out to LucasArts. Mm-hmm.
I heard somebody stood up and was like, "Can we see the game, please? Thank you."
No way.
At some point, they were just like bringing on like every person from the BioWare staff and having them give a speech, and you were just like, "I don't really care."
I saw the live blog, which every time I see a live blog from a game event, I'm like, if we don't need live by the second broadcast of real important news, where if you don't like tune into the New York Times to find out by the minute why our economy is collapsing, why do we need by the minute news from the Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic?
Like, you say that, and I would generally agree with you.
Yeah.
Except when you get a Jeff Green live blog, you know.
Oh,
it's
sure.
Just like fucking
goddamn amazing. But the brilliance of it is basically in his hatred for the format. It's just making fun of, like, oh, I got a live blog. This is stupid.
Well, it helps if the event is stupid and you don't need to pay attention to it.
It's just funny how we need our video game information very promptly. Like, I cannot wait hour for someone to throw this together into a story.
Part of the thing about the way that we do the live blogging now is that people can comment and we can react to it directly because the new live blogging software we use.
Uh-huh.
So people can sit there. It's like almost like a chat, but we're the only one who's posting.
Yeah, but
anything.
weren't the people on the live blog just being like, is it coming out on 360? Is it coming out on PS3?
Yeah, people were asking a lot of dumb things. My favorite one was username shit. who just kept on saying penis and then reminding us that he had just said penis. It's like, I just said penis.
See, that's my vision of what I think the internet will become. I think it'll just be, your site will be this blank page where you are trying to write a story and everyone who's reading it is just graffitiing all over it. Like,
penis.
Dork, lame, you know, just like fighting each other on top of your story.
Penises will take over.
Yeah.
So, the game, so at this point, they can't really say anything about the way the game looks other than what they showed us. Like, graphically, it looks somewhere between, like, World of Warcraft
and Lego
and Age of
Star
Conan.
Wars.
And Age of Conan.
And
really.
Lego Star Wars.
It's like it's like cartoony, but not, like, super, super cartoony, I guess.
Except for the lightsabers, which I gotta agree with
Mike Nelson
on that. Yeah,
blog.
Mike Nelson was super upset with the lightsabers. He's like the biggest Star Wars geek in the office, which I fully respect.
All right, hold on.
But wait.
Don't throw out that Mike's the biggest Star Wars geek in the office, because I'll smash on Mike in trivia any day.
All right, but, well, he's the one that I know happens to be a big Star Wars geek because he has all the stuff hanging up in his cube.
He's the one who will never have a girlfriend.
Wow.
Damn.
We'll hear from Mike Nelson later on in this podcast. Let's call him.
All right. So let's assume that Anthony is the biggest Star Wars geek in the office. But anyway, Mike Nelson was saying to me that, like, man, these lightsabers are terrible. And so I finally saw the screenshots yesterday, and I got to agree, they look like giant, I don't know, cardboard tubes.
What I would say is that the art is all, like, super preliminary at this point. Like, they're still trying to figure out the exact style that they're working on. And I could almost understand from a design point why they would make the lightsaber big.
Yeah, me
too. If you're running around in an MMO world,
you want to be able to
see it. Wondering what that dude is, you're like, oh, he's a Jedi because I can see his lightsaber.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and I would be willing to bet that if you are a Jedi and, you know, a big part of the Star Wars universe is building your own lightsaber.
Right.
So if it's big enough that people can see it, then you can put stuff on it or
that's
like
true.
You can
they
make
want,
it stylized.
They want people to become envious of the awesome lightsaber that you got.
Right.
I don't know. So. If I could have a lightsaber with a huge handle like that, I'd want my handle to be a turtle.
Turtle.
The thing coming out of its
just
mouth.
For irony.
Hell yeah.
Wield a turtle lightsaber?
Hell yeah.
So, all right, that deserves its own Photoshop.
One of my friends has a turtle bong. Does that count?
I don't know what that is.
Drugs? Drugs are bad.
They are. I'm just saying he has one. I didn't say he uses it.
It's a tobacco water pipe. Hello.
That's what they made him say when he bought it.
So did you learn anything about the actual game?
Well, they kept on using Bounty Hunter as an example of wouldn't it be cool if this class was in there, but they would never say it.
Like, they wouldn't say that it was actually in the game.
Yeah, they were like, we're only talking about Sith Lords.
So did they say, basically,
Jedi.
we decided to make this game last week, and here are the ideas we've come up with
on
our whiteboard?
Because they were only saying Sith Lords and Jedi, so everyone was like, well, why would I want to be anything else? Like, this foreign dude was like, what? If he's the Jedi and why Stormtrooper or Farmer? And the guy like interpreting is like, oh, okay, why would you want to be anything else? He's like,
were they like, yes, Stormtroopers did not exist in this time period?
Well, they didn't want to point out that, but nice. They did point out the fact that they were like, you know, if you watch the Star Wars movies, there is times that Obi-Wan gets defeated by a bounty hunter, you know, like, or at least defeated in the sense that the guy gets away.
Do they just keep bringing it back to bounty hunters?
They do all the time. And it's like obvious that there's going to be bounty hunters. But they would just say things like, think about all the archetypes from the movies, and those will probably be in there in some format.
Like, wow, that's very, like, great information, though, to get across. That if you have seen the movie, there are a great many things from the movie which may be in the game.
That was the whole thing. The whole presentation was
so
like
wait
double speak almost
wait
the whole time.
So think about all the archetypes from the movie.
I want to be an Ewok. Okay.
So you'll probably know Ewoks aren't an archetype. But
so there's Jedi.
But I would want to be an Ewok smuggler myself.
Smuggler?
Yeah, I already know.
To sell Ewoks into slave labor?
No.
You build my treehouse now, motherfucker.
Back in the day when I heard about the original Star Wars Galaxies, I was like, me and my friends had already planned it. We were all going to be Ewoks, and we were all going to be Ewok pirates together. And my friend was going to fly the freighter, and I was going to fly the Z-95 Headhunter that flew cover for him. And my call sign when people brought me up on their satellite was going to be Fuzzle Bunny 1. Because I wanted to be like, Fuzzle Bunny 1, and then just be being attacked by an Ewok pirate.
Wait, what did you say at lunch today? You can feel the clock turn back in time.
Oh, yeah, earlier I said, yeah, every time I speak like that, the clock turns back and we don't have a girlfriend.
Anthony, so Star Wars Galaxies, that takes place right after the destruction of the first Death Star, and no one discovered Ewoks until they went to Endor to turn off
Damn.
The force field generator.
It wasn't that no one had ever discovered
Ewoks. You know
Ewoks.
What? You're saying F-U, Tina. That's what you're saying, aren't you?
What?
You just said F-U, Tina.
So anyways.
What? Yes.
No.
So they couldn't say too much about the classes, but like when I heard about the game, I was like, this is going to suck ass. I told the guy from BioWare, like the president or whatever, the doctor, one of the two doctors.
Yeah.
I was like, when I first heard about your game, I thought it was dumb. And I was like,
did you really say that?
Yeah, I was like, this is
You're like, and I came I to this like, thing I looked at today, and I have not changed my mind.
I was like, this is going to be a crap MMO, just like every other crap MMO out there that, yeah. You know, it's not going to do anything different. But the guy that changed the way I felt was, Eric Hendrickson? Is that
wow,
his
what
name?
What did he say?
No.
The lead writer, I forget his name, from BioWare. He just, like, convinced me that, like, they actually... So there are four pillars of RPGs, and...
Why does this sound like Scientology?
And one of the pillars is story. And he said that, you know, story always gets left behind, which I couldn't agree with him more, because it's like, you know, it's just like when you watch Ryan play World of Warcraft, he just sits there and mashes the button to get through the dialogue, and he's just like, tell me what I need to know. Six turtles must die.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering, like, what's going
to
make...
So basically, they're going to force you to find out why it is that you must kill six turtles.
See, that's the whole thing, is that it's not going to be, like, first off, the, like... typical quests in an MMO give you context about why you're doing it, but the quests aren't about you.
Yeah.
So in this one, every single time you pick a class, the whole storyline from start to finish is about you. Like, you are the epicenter of it. So, like, it'll be someone will approach you and be like, I know something about your parents or something like
that.
You specifically.
Fine in theory, but, like, how does that work? Is that just a flavor text thing?
No, see, but that's the thing is, like, your quests with your class won't intersect at all with, like, anybody else's class either. Like, it really is tailored to your specific class the whole time.
It's just hard for me. Like, how could that possibly coexist with so many other people playing? It's like you go to, like, kill you go to, like, burn down the village that killed your people, and you meet, like, five other people there, and you're like, oh, you're me too? That's awesome.
Yeah, I guess...
That still has to be there. I mean, because that's the whole thing about a story in an MMO, and the reason why that pillar always gets left behind is because you can't have an effect on the world. It has to be static.
The world can't care
whether or not you're there.
So I think the way that BioWare is going to make a big difference with this, though, is with the addition of companion characters. Because companion characters, just like in Mass Effect or KOTOR, you're always going to have these other NPCs running around with you, and they're with you in your party.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not like the typical NPC, like in Warcraft or something, or even like in a Diablo, where it's just like a faceless pet that runs around with you.
Yeah, they were actually
these
doing
people
that.
Will have conversations with you, and like when you do a quest, like the quest might be like, you know, hey, you should go burn down this like village for me, right? And the person that your companion character will have like scripted things that'll be all different depending on them and how you've developed them. That they might be like, no, we can't do this.
Yeah.
You can't do this at all. And then
all I picture, though, is you're talking to your friends about some dumb bullshit. You're like, yeah, that episode was terrible, blah, blah. Oh, God, here it comes. And it's like the NPC is like going off on their dialogue, and you're trying to talk about Golden Girls or whatever.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is, like I think they want you to feel like super attached to what's going on the whole time.
Yeah.
Because like the NPC characters, it's just like, in other BioWare games, except the whole point they're trying to emphasize is that there's no autosaves and there's no pausing whatsoever. So it's like you have to make a decision, and if you make a decision, there's a good chance that, like, if it's something that upsets your companion character, they'll just leave your group forever. They're gone. You lost them.
Well, I mean, they succeeded in making you attached to your NPC characters in the other BioWare games.
Right.
I mean,
so,
I felt super attached
to
all
the people
in my party.
I think that's what they're trying to do with this as an MMO, because the whole game, they emphasize, can basically be done start to finish by yourself. You don't have to play with other people.
Yeah.
You can do it with just you and your
companion.
That was
basically
characters.
How I played Warcraft until I hit 70.
Exactly. So they want it to be...
Oh, man. That is harsh.
I played it like a single player RPG
the
until
whole
I hit
point
70. And
is that they want
people.
You to be able to play it alone, but not feel alone.
Right.
Because they want you to actually care. And as far as, like, you know, stupid
then why don't
quests,
they just make, you know, an RPG?
You know, as far as, like, a... Well, because $15 a month is a nice way to make amounts of money. But,
yeah.
You know, like, as far as, like, stupid quests, like, blah, 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 the lead writer guy was saying, like, you know, BioWare's, like, pretty infamous for, like, it's, like, the way it treats, like, it, like, pushes its writers, you know?
Yeah.
They, like, have some pretty rigorous, like, trials for them.
Yeah.
And so even then, like, when someone comes up with a quest, he said they all sit in a room and they all boil it down to its most basic. So he'll be like, Darth Vader burns a farm. Or no, it was Darth Vader saves a farm is what he said. So basically you're saying Darth Vader is going to do a quest that saves a farm.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I want everyone to read that out loud. And so he'll make everyone in the room read it out. Darth Vader saves a farm. And they'll just all look at the guy and be like, you are stupid. Darth Vader would never save a farm. Next. He said that's how he feels like they're going to have the best quest out there. Because he said they always boil them down and everyone in the room is just trashes on everyone else's stuff. So only the best stuff. And he's like, if there's ever a quest in this game and you're a Sith Lord and someone comes up to you and they're like, save my cat, he's like, you should just kill them.
Yeah.
No one's going to ask you to save their goddamn cat.
I hope it works, but I have a hard time like seeing how any MMO that doesn't allow you to change what actually happens in the world, where like what you do has an actual effect on the world, is always going to have a hard time like selling any kind of story. I mean, that's why I think that indie MMO Project Love is so interesting.
I don't know. To some extent, like, I guess I don't know exactly how you're going to actually have an effect on the world.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing is it's set during a time of galactic warfare, but it's not like I think that you doing something is going to, like, be like, you just fixed the whole war. Now it's done for everyone else that's playing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it sounds like, you know, the that they're going to use your companion characters to insert that fourth pillar of the story. And the world itself will probably still be static.
I think so. I think the whole point they're trying to make is that this whole storyline, since it's always about you, like they know that people, like that was the thing he emphasized, was that they know people are in their core when they're playing them, they're just selfish. All they care about is themselves. Like they don't care about helping other people in a group. They're there because they want experience as well.
I do.
You know, so like, well, okay, Matt's an anomaly of humanity.
He just bums around and wows. Can I help?
I don't do that.
Can I give you some equipment?
So it's like, yeah. So he's like, that's why they're focusing so much on making. The story isn't about like how you can help this guy save his farm or anything. The story is always about how you can help determine the story of your character more.
Thank you, BioWare, for playing into my narcissism.
That's basically exactly what they want. They want to play into everyone's narcissism because they think that's the way to make the most engaging story.
Yeah.
So fair enough.
And the guy,
So they're basically just like big Ayn Rand freaks. They want to experiment with utopia. This is like BioShock 2.
Honestly, I feel like I drank the Kool-Aid a little bit. Like when I spoke with the guy that did the art and everything, I was not convinced. When I spoke with the guys that are doing like the technical design stuff, I wasn't convinced. Then they bring in this lead writer, and by the time he left, I was like, this is going to be a fantastic fucking game. I even told their PR person next time, I was like, next time you guys need to have someone speak, like don't let those other guys. Just bring in that dude.
Straight to that dude.
And he'll make every, like you should have seen it. It was literally like everyone in the room was like smiling and like,
That's hilarious.
Yeah. That's the funny thing about when you see games like super early on, not even that you were seeing the game, that they were basically like giving you the game idea. And when the press like gets a notion of what a game is about, it's usually from a game that's at the level of like a pitch. That was sort of why Spore was so big, was because like Will Wright had the greatest game pitch of all time. It was like, holy shit, this is fucking epic. And everyone gets to know this idea. And then by the time it comes around and it's like a mere shadow of what people talked about at first, they're so disappointed.
That's the mere shadow that sold millions of copies.
I wrote up a preview that'll be up with Scooter by the time this goes up. And that's like kind of what I said in the end of it. It was like, I'm like really hopeful. They made me really hopeful. But in the end, I know a lot of it's still just ideas.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're also saying things like this is bigger, they said, like the content that will be there as far as quests and everything is bigger than every BioWare game ever made added together, is what they said. Like Mass Effect, every Baldur's Gate, every Neverwinter Night, if you added all that stuff content-wise, it doesn't even like scratch the surface of the amount of stuff they're putting into this.
So well, that's going to make it so hard when they cancel it.
If I'm a Sith Lord and I'm running around and I see some Jedi, can I go up to him and attack him?
Yeah, they said that PvP is going to be a huge part of it because...
Like, I mean, is PvP going to be a huge part of it just period, or is it going to be like, here's some PvP servers over here?
I don't know. I mean, they kind of said that they were emphasizing PvP in the sense that, like, the whole backdrop is that it's a time when the Sith is finally going to war with the Galactic Republic, so it's always going to be like... Everybody's at war.
All I want to know is if Yaddle is in the game and why didn't you push for, like, our lore... to be included. And like, imagine if there was a quest where you had to go for Yaddle milk or something.
Yeah, well, first off, Yaddle wouldn't be in the game because it's 3,300 years before.
How long do they live?
Yoda lived.
It's like 3,400 years.
Yoda only lived to be like 700 something. So.
900.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Oh,
Ryan wins again.
Fact check.
The clock just went forward of when I'm going.
Yes.
Well, that's disappointing. I would have enjoyed like a Yaddle milk quest.
Yeah, I mean,
5 jugs of Yaddle milk. Yeah. 2 Yaddle hairs.
I mean,
oh, God.
Who knows, like, if that stuff's really not going to end up there and it's really going to be as unique as they say, like, I'm hopeful because it's BioWare, and I feel like if someone's going to be able to make me care about the story in an MMO, it'll be them.
Yeah.
But at this point, like, literally, we've seen so little that, like, basically, if you guys read the paper announcement and saw the screens that came out yesterday, you know as much as I do, basically, at this point.
Yeah.
So I just hope that, like, that whole writer sequence that you talked about, I wish they'd applied that to the Mass Effect novel. I hope if they have any novelizations coming out for this that they apply that then too.
I'm sure there will be novelizations, but they won't be written by those guys.
Sucked.
It'll be written by, like, you know, the established, like, lore people from from Lucas. They actually have lore people on staff for this too. They said it's pretty insane the stuff that people know. But you know, it was also great because when we were in the press conference thing, people would occasionally ask, like, the hardcore questions as well.
Like what?
What's a hardcore question for an MMO that doesn't exist?
I don't remember, but it was like... The guy, or some people just ask really specific things like, will we still be able to build our own lightsabers in this game? And the guy basically answered him with, like, I can't answer that, but what, don't you think it'd be stupid if you couldn't? Like,
why were they so slippery? It seems crazy that they even want to hold a press conference to tell anybody that's happening. Is it, are they basically just trying to do it before Lich King comes out?
BioWare does stuff really early, though, too. I mean, like,
yeah, I think part of it was that. And the fact of the matter is that they're also partners with EA and LucasArts on this, so I don't know how much they had say in it. I mean, yeah, I mean, because, you know, at this point, BioWare is owned by EA.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, but they're partners with LucasArts, obviously, because it's Star Wars. So.
Speaking of EA, did you hear that Dad got moved from The Sims?
Dad being Jeff Green.
Yes.
No, what did he get moved to? They put him on like Sean White snowboarding.
It's on his blog.
Oh,
yeah, it's on his Greenspeak blog. It's where it's. He said like I got pulled off of the project that I'm working on. I can't talk about my new project.
Maybe Jeff's actually working on an original IP, which would be cool.
Yeah,
instead of Sims.
Maybe he is the Lord of the Rings.
Yay!
I'm gonna be so sad though if we find out that he's on like Boomblocks too.
I wouldn't be.
I think it would turn out awesome.
Boomblocks was all right.
Look at his face.
What a great endorsement. Boomblocks was all right.
I own it. How about that? I went out and bought it. That's about the best endorsement I can give.
Do you still own it?
I still own it. Wow. I don't ever trade in games.
It's one of the only reasons I would ever have a Wii.
Yeah. Really?
Which I don't have.
Another ringing endorsement. Anyway. I've been playing a game on my Wii lately, which I thought we were going to talk about, which is The World of Goo. I've also been playing
We are going to talk about this because it is available on PC as well.
Yes. I want to hear this because I hear that there's some tension.
You don't open your mouth at all, Ryan Scott. Robert Ashley.
All right, go ahead. Talk about this ridiculous game.
What's so ridiculous? I have a hard time seeing how anyone would have a strong negative reaction to the game. If anyone at home has not played the game, it's basically this kind of interesting physics and engineering puzzle game.
Where you have to build like bridges, basically, or towers.
Yeah, you're building these structures out of like this gooey substance that has a certain amount of give. Kind of, it's not rigid, and you have to just basically go by feel for what you can build with it, and you're basically trying to build structures to transport these puddles of goo from one place to another, and I guess it inspires hate.
And Ryan Scott,
what's so horrible about it?
He can't skip to the quest text.
Well, to qualify this a little bit, I played some of it at a Nintendo event.
Yeah,
that's what poisoned the well.
Which I don't know. It was a few months.
You had someone just playing like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star in your left ear the whole time on Wii Music, and it was driving you crazy.
I think it was a little before Wii Music. They were playing Samba de Amigo, I think, in my ear. But I played probably 15-20 minutes of it. But
and that's why you hate it.
Maybe I haven't played enough to, this was just for like a quick preview, whatever. Yeah. Maybe
you just got called
better,
out, dude.
Maybe it gets better later. But from what I played,
you got to keep an open mind. We know that you hate blobs, but
I love blobs.
I played
a boy and his blob.
Yeah.
The game was alright.
It's a pretty... The thing that I like about the game is that instead of being like a rigid puzzle game... I mean, there are lots of puzzle games where the answer... There's only one answer. Yeah. You know, you go through and you figure out what's the one thing that you need to do. This is very much like an intuitive kind of middle ground thing where you even in building the things, you can't be that precise because you're stretching these structures out, and it's not like you can always get the same angles. You're just kind of seeing what you can make and not really like doing the math. And I enjoy that.
Yeah,
aspect.
Ryan's making a face like shit in his lap.
God, I just cannot imagine why your reaction is so strong to a game that you played for 15 minutes.
I just thought it was dumb.
All right. There.
See, but did you like?
Can you elaborate?
You are the reviews editor around here, and the only thing you can come up with is it's dumb. So you want to be a little bit more specific?
This game is dumb.
Like what aspect of the game is dumb?
I was pretty convinced that it was compelling. And reinvented the wheel.
Whoa.
Yeah,
compelling gameplay, rock solid audio, slick visuals, and some tight controls.
But seriously, did you I don't remember, you liked Peggle, didn't you? This kind of has that same sort of appeal as Peggle with me. It's just like it's a puzzle game, so not quite, but I'm saying in the same way that it's like a quick game that I just jump on and play. It's simple, but it's like,
yeah,
you understand it immediately, but it's still like fun.
It's an appetizer game. Like, the way that I play games nowadays is, like, I have appetizer games, which are the games that I play for, like, 15 or 20 minutes before I get to the main course. And then I have the main course game. So I'll play, like, Mega Man 9 or World of Goo or Peggle Knights.
Wait a second. So we were bashing him for playing the game for 15 to 20 minutes, but now you just admitted that you only played
for... No, I've played it for several sessions
of
15 to 20 minutes. I've played it for, like, 6 or 7 days pretty much every night. So, yeah.
I went out and bought that as well day one when I could.
Yeah.
Respect.
It's an interesting game. You might be turned off by the look of it or something. I don't know what it would be. And the early puzzles just aren't very compelling because they're teaching you the basics of how it works. But later on, you get to some really interesting stuff.
And like they add, like, different properties to the goo and stuff like that.
I think the first really interesting level was one where you basically had this goo bridge hovering over a boulder that would turn, mm-hmm. and you had to get down to these two different puddles of goo on the ground below the bridge. And as you built down, you would end up, like, stressing the boulder, and it would start swinging back and forth. And so you figured out that you'd have to build, like, parallel structures on both sides of the boulder and reach down and pick them up. And you had to do it in such a way that you used the green ones, which you could take back into the puddle stream or whatever, so that, like, once you built down, you could also take them back up and have enough to get to the top. But I don't know. There are, like, lots of interesting situations.
It's kind of like the same sort of puzzle game for people that liked, like, Elefunk, if you played that on PS3, where you're just building bridges that can support, like, a certain amount of weight and stuff like that.
I played a preview build of it, but I never, like, that game was weird because it came out, like, total stealth style.
It did, and it was, like, $5.
Yeah, but like,
I never played that.
So, but World of Goo, like, is that on Steam?
It's on Steam.
It's on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like $19 on Steam, and then it's like $15 on WiiWare or something.
Is
like
$19
that.
Is it
$15 on Wii? I thought it was like $10. I'm confused by their
I think
points
it's like $15 on Wii, but it's like $20 on. I guess maybe you could argue that it's too much, but at the same time, it's like made by like such a like it's made by like a couple of guys.
Yeah,
and it's like I still think it's great fun. Yeah, nice. I didn't have any problem spending that much money to like support. Like these two guys that don't, you know, it's like they even have like a.
It's made by dudes. I mean, come on. We got to give dudes money.
Well, it's the same thing as like when you. It's like the same time when you're like.
Send your cash.
You go and watch a band and you're like, you know, I thought that band was pretty rad. I'm at least going to buy a shirt.
I thought that band was pretty rad, and by the smell of them, they haven't had a shower in weeks. Yes, I will buy a shirt. please eat.
Yeah, exactly.
You look unhealthy.
And shower.
Exactly. Yes. So, I think World of Goo is pretty good, and it got like, didn't it get like an A- on our site?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, an A of some sort.
I didn't even pay attention.
An A of some sort.
I can't remember every score that every game got.
No, yeah, but I figured
you are the reviews editor.
I figured you'd remember that one because you
hate it.
When
so
I
much.
Saw it, I just typed in. I sent Ryan a name that just said "vindicated," and then Ryan quoted to me a user review underneath the main review that was like, "This game is retarded." I was like, "Way to quote the quality."
Yeah. So Ryan basically has achieved the status of the people who log on to make comments like, "This game's gay. I don't know why people buy it."
Yeah, like, and they've never.
Why do people
it themselves?
Buy all these gay Wii games? That's basically you.
Hey, I like the Wii.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was the last game you actually went and played on your own time on the Wii?
I don't like the Wii.
Mega Man 9.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Shit.
I don't...
You can't say anything.
I play Damn. Stuff on it often, but we don't need to have this conversation.
No.
Yeah. But anyway, so what the hell have you been playing?
On a PC. When was besides WoW?
Warhammer Online.
Oh my Lord.
Hey, you know what? World of Warcraft. I have my defense because the new patch that just came out.
I'm trying
huge.
To meet Felicia Day. I joined her server.
That too.
Nice.
No, there's a ton of stuff to do on the WoW patch. There's the Halloween event. I'm trying to get all the Halloween achievements so I can get one step closer to getting this rad mount.
Why do you want so many mounts, Ryan? Does it say you can get the achievement for having 50 mounts?
Yes.
Let's be honest.
You know what? When you get that achievement, you get another mount.
I hear Alicia Day is like really into people that have a lot of mounts.
Well, yeah, she's impressed.
She's also about as
they
white.
Why don't they have like a home for you in WoW? Like, wouldn't it be cool if you know you had your little farm with all
Thank
of your
Christ
mounts?
They don't.
They tried that in Star Wars Galaxies.
Yeah.
And then eventually, when everyone quit, there was just all these like like shanty towns.
It turned into Detroit.
The funny thing was they literally were letting players go and demolish all the old houses for fun.
Oh man, that's pretty awesome. Somebody should make an MMO about Detroit though. Like basically the whole concept is it's Detroit. The year is 2008. And it's basically just like straight up PvP, like fights in the streets, shootouts.
You're like, you carry this crack.
RoboCop would be awesome.
RoboCop MMO.
How come they haven't made a first person RoboCop game? Like, can you imagine hearing his voice pop up? Like, you're shooting people and are like, the law has been served.
I'd just like to point out that they're remaking the RoboCop movie.
Yeah.
So perhaps they will make a first person shooter after that.
You know, they made parts of RoboCop in Dallas, where I grew up, and my grandmother worked at City Hall at the time when they were filming RoboCop at Dallas City Hall, because basically the City Hall in RoboCop is Dallas City Hall turned upside down using a camera trick to try to make it look super futuristic. And she met RoboCop in costume in the stairwell of her building and said he was a giant dick to her. But apparently he must have been really grumpy because the costume looked very hard.
I'm sure it was horribly hot and stuff inside that.
In Dallas in a robot suit? Come on.
It's not a robot when he has flesh.
That's true.
It's a cyborg.
Cyborg. Oh, because you hate robots, don't you?
Cyborgs are cool, though.
Wasn't the RoboCop car a Ford Taurus?
Yeah, back in the day.
That is like the ultimate mom car. I can't believe that.
Moms are badass, Ford Taurus. Dude, don't discount them.
It was a V8.
Taurus.
Man.
Later on, he didn't need a car anymore, though, because he got wings in the third one.
Yeah.
So speaking of Felicia Day again, I like the photo that Ryan has with her. Where you look totally badass. You're like, I don't need to talk to her.
I also
somehow managed to shoot like right. You were like, hey, and I turned my head, and you snapped the picture at just the right moment where I looked totally badass.
No, that was not the true story at all. Now you're trying to play it off like
that is what
I know.
But the part where you
leaned over your shoulder and looked at Tina and was like, "I got this B on the line."
It's not that was the special picture. It's that every other time that someone takes a picture of you, it's just the single moment that you don't look badass. It's like you look badass 99% of the time.
Okay,
and you just have bad luck with the camera.
I'll go with that.
I was also thinking, like, you know, I should make sure that people understand that Ryan really isn't a racist and that he's open to women of all color.
That's why I'm on the show, right?
Imagine being like someone who just heard the show for the first time and you heard that. It just come out of nowhere. What the fuck is that about?
There's this joke that goes on about Ryan only dating white women only, and people make all these pictures of Ryan that say white women only.
How did that even get started?
Because I just said it because I was just being an asshole. But Felicia Day, like, I remember me and David were looking at you talking to her, and we were like, man, it don't get no whiter than that. She is like pale-ass white with bright red hair. That's like...
dream.
That's like as white as it gets.
Yeah. That's okay. Ryan has an omnivorous appetite for any being that like, commits sexual acts. Basically, you know, dwarves.
Oh God!
Farm animals.
I don't need these photoshopped.
There's a fallout. There's a giant fallout statuette in the lobby that I saw. I'm sure that he's got his eye on it.
Did you notice the fallout statue's hand is shaped in a nicely?
Oh no! Really?
Yes.
It is. Yeah.
It's like pre. Only you guys would hold hands.
No, I thought about hold. I went up and held
only
its hand.
You guys.
I went up and held its hand, and I told David to take a picture. On his shoulder.
Everybody looks like a child next to it too. So it looks like the Fallout. It looks like a Brotherhood of Steel walking around with his small children.
That's
what I want to know is every year or so the giant nerd statuette in the Ziff office gets changed, and I want to know how that executive decision is made. It's like who decided that it was like time for Sam Fisher to go and replace it with the Prince of Persia. And then who decided that, like, Prince of Persia is out, Fallout is in?
Okay, well,
as far as I know, Prince of Persia got smashed.
Yeah.
Like, there's pieces of Prince of Persia around the
office. Really? Yeah. What happened?
I have no idea. That was before my time.
But what happened with this one, apparently, is that...
Too late for a reverse time joke, huh?
Probably.
Okay.
Wait, but is it?
Can't we go back? Can we make him whole again? It's reversed.
Oh, I get it. I am laughing.
Like, oh, that's great.
But as far as I know, the Fallout statue, they were just like, no, we don't want it. And they said, well, it's already on the way.
Really?
And yeah. And you saw that thing, right? It arrived in a box, shrink wrap too, like with bubble wrap. Can you imagine the size of that box?
It's so huge. It's like 8 feet tall.
It just arrived in shrink wrap. I don't think it was even in a box.
David Ellis is a liar.
I think how you solve global warming is you just shut down the entire game industry.
No shit.
What?
And it would totally stop it in its tracks.
With all the plastic that we use and everything?
Just all the delivering like 9,000 pound statues that were made in China.
Yeah.
So that people can like 8 months later break them in a drunken rage.
It's true, the carbon footprint on that thing has to be atrocious.
Oh my
Lord.
God.
Yeah.
I don't care. I need my statues.
Yeah.
You need your statues.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, so we were playing Call of Duty again the other night. Good grief.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And everyone always thinks Tina likes to use her voice to her advantage.
Yep.
How do
because I... when it's convenient, you're a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And when it's convenient, you're a girl. Like yep. Whenever it works, whenever it's gonna work best to your advantage, they're like,
whatever.
Are you a girl fag? And you're like, yes, I am a girl. And then they're like, oh, okay.
No, I don't do that. No, I don't. I egg them on. What are you talking about?
No, it's true. It's true. Yeah. But she does switch on and off between being a girl and a boy, like constantly.
No, the best thing though is like,
I don't even know how I do that.
Well, it's like the game that we were in the other night, you were all like, yeah, I'm a girl. And then they were like, you are? And like, no, actually, I'm a 12-year-old boy.
And then after that, they weren't sure. That one guy was like, you need to tell me, are you a girl?
Yep.
This is very important. You cannot be in my army.
They got more and more agitated about it. And the great thing is Tina, like, she's so fucking good at this game that she's like ordering a pizza half the time.
Oh, shit.
Like just standing in a corner, like, I don't know what to buy. I don't know what pizza to get. And like, finally, like, she's like, okay, got my pizza. And then like, she goes out and like, you know, a minute later, the match is over. And she's at the top of the scoreboard.
Really?
And if Tina was like a 12-year-old boy, people still say like the most obscene shit to this 12-year-old boy.
Oh, dude.
They're always like,
I thought that would encourage more obscenity. Being a 12-year-old boy is basically like being a giant bullseye.
Oh, no.
That's what I'm saying.
They were teaching me last night about the woman anatomy. That
yeah, that's
one.
What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. They'll be like, oh, you're 12. Huh? I'm going to teach you where the clitoris is. You're just like, what?
And I'm like, where's that?
Like, and there was some guy that says,
is that on the
boobies? Some guy that was like, yeah, 12-year-old boys have, they have better hips than most chicks I know.
People will also like, take it down that route all the time of like super uncomfortable real fast.
Yeah.
I'm so used to this crap. It doesn't even faze me.
Do you ever go online and be like, my mom's gone all weekend? I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm so bored. I wish someone would visit me. You could be like your own little Chris Matthews to catch a predator. And we could get it on videotape. It'd be like a great one-up show segment. Like, surprise, yeah. you're a gamer pedophile.
Yeah, there's also... there's also that, and then there's also an incredible amount of misogyny. It's not uncommon for when they figure out that she is a girl, just be like, shut up, bitch. And you're just like, whoa. Yeah.
I don't care about that anymore. What's funny is that the way I spell my name on Xbox Live is T-E-A-N-E-H. So when they ask me if you're
they
a boy
go,
or
yo,
girl.
Yo, Tina, you a girl?
Yeah, and they know it's Tina, but then I say, oh, it's TNA, because those are my favorite body parts. And then they're like, oh, you're the coolest 12-year-old boy I know.
Oh.
Like, so you play into their misogyny. I see how it goes.
Yeah.
Whatever, just having fun with it, right?
Good yeah. Move. Well, you sort of have to. Otherwise, like, you know, would chase you away from a game you love.
Do these guys, like, rage at you when you totally kick their asses and they know you're a girl?
No, that doesn't surprisingly happen, but I think at that point they're just convinced that she is just a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Comes
like,
home from like sixth grade and just plays all day. Yeah.
Well, and it's like, but in Call of Duty, it's usually you can only hear your team.
Yeah.
You know, you do realize you gave your Xbox Live gamer tag out.
Oh, no, everyone knows it.
Oh, okay.
It's, it's on our profile.
We were playing with community members the past two nights.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you say it like that?
Were they well behaved?
Well, we were only able to play with like three of them, and they were cool, but. We're going to try and set up another night where we do that, yeah, where it's at like a decent hour, because we always end up doing it at like 11. So only like West Coast people or like crazy East Coast people don't have jobs.
Who can play video games before 9 o'clock? I never get around to playing a video game.
But I'm just
like
saying, like, if we did it, so we should probably do it at like 7 p.m., like our time, so that Eastern people even have a chance.
What we should do is just plan it ahead of time, say, like, on this day.
Right, because that's the other thing. We never plan ahead of time. We just go and post on the boards and be like, who can play with us right now?
Yeah.
So. But it was fun, right? Like, one of the guys we were playing with, he was actually using, like, all our jokes.
It's
which was making it difficult for us to like grief other people. So
his name was like what
his name was also like get AIDS or something like that.
Yeah, he was pretty funny, but it's the greatest form of flattery, right?
Like, what was he doing? Like, using your jokes? What do you mean?
I don't know. Like,
well, a lot of times when people swear, a typical one that Tina does is talks about how her mom's watching. And she has the stuff coming over her TV speakers so they can't swear.
Yeah.
And then that just makes everyone immediately, you know, does the response you're thinking, where they're just
Tourette's
like, fuck.
So. Yeah, he did that. And then all this, I don't know, he copied you too, right?
Yeah, he did. But then he also had some original ones.
Banana Riders.
The original ones that I can't remember now that were pretty fantastic.
Yeah. But then I was just being a jerk face too the other night, and I was talking about like all these games that are awesome, and I was trying to convince people to go to GameStop to pre-order it, like the Forrest Gump game, because if you think about it, that game can like span all like genres of games.
Oh yeah,
and that's why it would be terrible. Yesterday I was so
I was just saying that, like, Forrest Gump is already a genre of game anyway. I feel like that's how games are set up. Like, people just write their games to be these, like, implausible set of situations where you end up being, like, you know, in every possible crucial moment of saving the world, you know?
Did Sean ever show you that video for It's So Cold in the D?
No.
Last night
that was pretty annoying. That was good.
Yeah, that's why I was doing it. Just because every time I would kill someone, I was only using a Desert Eagle. I'd just say that every time I killed someone. It's so cold in the D. Yeah. So then I'd kill three people and I'd be like, it's so cold in the D. To my team the whole time.
They were like getting all pissed off.
I don't know.
Gonna get you in Team Fortress 2. You guys.
I know. Yeah. Actually, that game is so good.
Yeah, I just fixed my computer.
Is it fixed?
I actually feel really guilty that I haven't played that in a couple months, because it's one of the games that my current computer can play very, very well. Oh, and by the way, I want to give a shout out to all the people that sent me messages last week when I said I wanted to upgrade my computer and was thinking about Vista and stuff. And like, people sent me all kinds of system specs and like reasons to upgrade. And you know, like,
did they send you any reason for why your computer case should be glowing red on the inside?
No, although one guy did send me his system specs, and I noticed that like in every one of his, it was like the LED version of the case fan, the blue LED version of his you know, cooler. And
my case has green LED lights. The fan has blue LED lights.
Wow.
And
so you just sit around, hit the bong, and like stare at that. Like, that is awesome.
I don't even keep it faced.
That's like, that's the mothership.
I don't even keep it faced to like where I can see it. Like, I never know it's there, but if I turn out the lights and I'm gaming with the lights off, it illuminates my whole back wall green.
Man, why are you complaining about carbon footprints when you're doing stuff like that?
What do you mean?
Wasn't complaining, he was observing.
I'm playing in the dark to save power. I'm still playing on my computer, but I'm not using
LEDs
light.
Are like they're super energy efficient.
And let's not compare me using a computer to play games. That's a like use high thing to the carbon footprint of shipping that freaking thing.
This one is a really badass computer, like fitted into a case from like the mid '80s. Something that looks like it was used by an accountant, and it's like all yellowed out from smoke in the office.
I guarantee you, people will probably PM you after this, because every time I've ever been to something like when I went to PAX,
I saw some dude that
took an actual like World War II era radio and gutted it and built it in
nice.
His own computer.
Oh, sweet.
So cool. I think the appeal of PCs is that they're not fancy. Like, I don't want anything fancy. I want it to look like the opposite of a Mac.
See, you say that, but like having a Mac ever since they introduced their new big silver boxes or whatever, I still can't find a case that's equivalently easy to get in and get all of the parts into and out of, and like runs amazingly beautifully quiet. And I'm sure it's possible, I'm sure you can do it, but it's like, you know, sometimes I just want an out-of-the-box solution.
That's the thing is, like, cases nowadays that are all made to look all crazy and stuff as well, they are made to be, like he said, easy to get into and to have, like, crazy amounts of ventilation. That's always a problem when you start building those custom things is, like, you got to get into, like, water cooling and shit like that.
I just find it amazing that when given the chance to make a custom computer, people constantly choose to make something that looks like a laser show, like, for Pink Floyd from the
1970s. I guess it's kind of like rolling up with, that's like the equivalent of like a nerd Ferrari. Yeah. You pull up in the parking lot with the other Ferraris and they're like, but can your Ferrari lift
nice
the doors?
Ground
like?
Effects.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're telling me that doesn't appeal to you in the least? You'd rather be like the guy that shows up with the beater Ford from like 1949?
No, I'd rather be the guy who shows up on the scooter.
The Vespa?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And so you show up like, with a totally adorable computer case? That like everybody
it's like a little
over.
Toy.
You need
it's
a pink so one. That's what you need.
No. No. My shit's in my living room. It's just got to sit there and look like... it shouldn't draw any attention. But anyway.
But anyway.
Enough of that.
So I'm gonna keep working on my computer rig and get something new set up. And I think I'm going to use my current case because it does have a nice big side open door that makes things pretty easy to access. I'm just kind of disappointed that... I did a little bit of research that I've done online. It looks like my power supply that I had to buy when I upgraded my video card about a year ago isn't going to be enough, even though it's like 550 watts.
Yeah, I don't know. Basically, for nowadays, like for any rigs that have like considerable graphics cards, although this isn't necessarily true because like modern graphics cards, they've gotten better about power consumption. But like, yeah, 650 and above is like typically where I have 650. So
this stuff is critical to PC.
I guarantee you that people that listen to this podcast, that's the type of shit that they're like, yeah, 650 watts. Why not go 1,000 watts? They're like the type of people that look on Newegg and they're just like, someday.
Yeah. Well, I run my shit on a stock Dell with a 450 watt power supply. And then I've got a nice enough graphics card. Anthony's giving me the tier. And most importantly, it's quiet. It's quiet. It doesn't have the roar of like 1,000 fans in it.
Well, that's why I use headphones. I can't hear those fans.
Oh, man. I can't handle that shit.
No, I hate that shit, too.
I turn on my Xbox and cringe.
My
is it broken? No, that's just how it actually sounds.
So, like, my whole thing is, like, being able to find fans that are durable because I'm too fucking lazy to go out and replace a fan once it starts to go. And, you know, they start to go, they're like, and so, like, I literally fucking pound on my PC case. I'll just pound on it, and then it'll, and then the fan like starts running normally again. I'm like, okay, that's good enough.
Hmm. Well, all my wife does, like, given any free time or even work time, is sit around and read. So,
she's a lazy wife.
She doesn't do anything that makes noise. So I have to be, I don't know. Anytime I do anything, it makes noise. It's like I'll have the stereo on.
You're disturbing
music
the peace.
Or, yeah, I play games with headphones on, but she like it drives her crazy to have loud electronics on.
Me too.
So. Do you hate that? I hate about her?
Yeah, man, I hate her. I hate you so much. No, it's fine. I can understand. It's annoying.
My girlfriend hates it when I'll be playing like WoW or Team Fortress 2 or something where I'm using a headset.
You can just stop right there.
And
your girlfriend
and you freak the fuck out.
You're playing WoW.
Well, whenever I'll be like talking to people on a headset, she'll have to go in the other room because she's like, "What are you doing?"
And not
like,
and not
are
talking,
you talking to
her.
Me?
That's great that you managed to give your girlfriend Waja. Like,
so she finds it disturbing when you're in WoW and you're always telling your mage to sheep somebody.
Well, pretty much.
It's pretty isolating. I mean, that's like my only complaint about playing games online and why I don't do it very much is, I mean, I live in like a one room apartment. Mm. And if you're sitting there playing games and like you got someone else there, it's just so like rude to sit there and have this long it's like someone sitting there having a phone conversation for like 2 hours.
All right, but hold on.
Wish I had that problem.
I'm just saying, why is
myself? I'm
why
like
is it? Why is it rude?
People think I'm a 12-year-old boy.
It's rude because you're like you're interrupting like the whole sound space for the other person, and you're not talking to them. You know, you're like talking
all the
time.
Maybe you don't want to talk all the time. Sometimes you need
we don't talk very much like most nights. I swear to God, we're just like she's sitting on the chair and I'm laying on the couch and we're reading. Yeah.
Boring. Reading's good for you.
Yeah. We're listening to jazz records. Yes, I'm turning 30 in approximately 2 weeks.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
So you still want... No. So
please send all presents to Bobbito.
Make me feel young again. Send me sex. send me something from like the young days.
You should really start that Amazon wish list.
I will like
Can
sex.
You put sex on an Amazon wish list?
Like Friday night out.
Disposable income.
Sleeping past 9. I'll take any of those things. Yeah.
I don't know. We exhausted our shit to talk about. I kind of feel like we have. Yep. We had those few games to talk about.
I wanted to say that like the other impetus for upgrading my rig recently was watching people play Far Cry on the Xbox and thinking to myself, wow, I bet this game looks really good. I'll bet it looks really fucking good on a PC.
Who says, who told me welcome to the Frozone when I started playing on
PC? It wasn't welcome to the Frozone.
Prozone,
sorry. Yeah, because Rory thought, Rory has a natural bias against console games.
He was making
so
fun of me.
So when she
the
joined up, yeah, he was like, welcome to the Prozone lair.
PC.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
We need to grief more.
Yeah.
I need to record it.
We'll have to figure out a way to capture that.
Yeah.
So, but I think we out.
Think so.
Yep.
Next week, speaking of Rory, maybe next week we can get him to come on, call in, and tell us about Bully PC.
Oh, yeah. One quick thing, though, before we go.
They ported that to PC? Jesus Christ. Wow. Are they just going to port it to anything with a microchip?
What else was ported to PC? MistyWare 6.
So this is what
we're
this is what we're going out
that's
on.
It's just like nobody's going to buy it. That's just pure piracy. I'm going to buy that.
All right, so
sorry.
So no one can post on the boards about this whatsoever.
Oh, God.
But I was asked to pimp twitter.com/ShaneWatch, all one word, ShaneWatch.
And really?
We're looking to get 1,000 followers. So far we have 500. It's a day-to-day, minute-to-minute update of Shane's life and what he's doing at the office. And we don't want Shane to know about it, and we know he doesn't listen to these podcasts. So.
The whole thing is to see how long it takes him to catch on.
Yeah, so don't post don't about
either,
it.
Either we just completely
but wait, is it him? Him talking about it? Somebody
no.
else?
No, it's like me, Nick. so I need you to imagine that. Like, I'll go up to him and I'll be like, "Man, my pumpkin spice latte is very good. What did you get, Shane?" And he's like, "Oh, sometimes I get pumpkin spice latte, but I only get it once a week. It's too delicious." So then I'll go and be like, "He only gets a pumpkin spice latte. It's too delicious." And that goes up. Or like Nick will see him and Nick will be like, "He just threw something in the trash."
Do you guys ever just like peek around the corner in his office with a video camera and then post a video? Okay. So are you going to show me?
I do have a picture of him. But anyways, we can go out on that. So yeah, everyone subscribe to Shane Watch. It's very important.
But don't talk about it.
Talk about it.
No posting on the forums. Nice. No telling Shane about it. No blogging about it.
Because that'll ruin it.
Because then this
and
whole
then you'll
joke.
Be a ruiner.
The sole joke will be over before it started.
We're looking for 1,000 followers. Do it. All right, we out.
We out.
Bye.
We out.
Bye.